Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Shot by Lennox Lewis.
A right hand by Holyfield.
By Buster Douglas. Look at this. He's knocked Mike Tyson down for the first time in his career.
But unfortunately, it'll never happen.
Frotch punches and punches, and it's over.
I think it's going to be over.
Aguero in big trouble against the ropes.
I have to say, there seems an element of genuine hate between these two, Ambrose.
For sure. I don't hate the man.
Just imagine if you bought a ticket. Stop it, Frank. You can stop it any time. Castillo's in trouble. Weak steps in, and the fight is over.
Oh!
Welcome, fight fans, to the Legendary Nights Season 2 wrap-up episode. First of all, thank you for listening to the whole season. Thank you for listening to all these great tales and all these great stories that we've covered throughout the course of these 10 episodes. And we've really thoroughly enjoyed doing this. We really have. It's been an absolute pleasure to continue on with Legendary Nights. And every time we've put an episode out, the stories have just got even better. And there's been so many sort of obscure, not so much obscure fights, but obscure stories that maybe not a lot of people knew about, including ourselves. And we felt like we've delivered a lot more in this season and compacted it into only 10 episodes, whereas our first season, as you know, it was 30 episodes long. We didn't really think about doing seasons at first, but as time went on, we realised there's no way we're going to be able to do all these fights and just continue it on constantly, because I think it makes for a better podcast when you get more season-based episodes. And I think Season 2, Johnston, starting out on the bat, I think that's what was one of the biggest changes that we said from our Season 1 wrap-up episode, was that we're going to compact things down, we're going to change things, we're going to look for more stories, we're going to do things that are going to be more presentable and more enjoyable for people to listen. And I think we've definitely done this with Season 2.
I think we have. I think when you listen to the very first sort of few episodes in Season 1, where, you know, Legendary Nights is all about the fight. So we did always sort of skim through parts of their career because we didn't want to make it so much of a career profile. But even now, we don't necessarily do that. We sort of, the way we intertwine them now and the build-up, I think it feels better when you listen to it for the build-up, when you sort of see where one fight has come from. I mean, just kicking off with the first episode with Anthony Joshua, Klitschko had that massive long start to his career, and then Joshua joins in later on. But I thought that added a little bit of something to it. And, you know, the stories regarding sort of Klitschko in the background that I didn't even know of, with the drugs and whether he got spiked and stuff like that with one of his other fights. But I think those stories have definitely made this season a more rounded season compared to the first. I think towards the end of the first, it's similar to how Season 2 has gone, but definitely the stories in some of these tales are terrific. They really are. Some are really tragic and some are quite uplifting. So and that's even before the fight. So I've really enjoyed putting Season 2 together. It's been great sourcing all this information and then putting it out there and recording. It's been great fun to do.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's been great. And obviously, we'll do a little recap on the season as a whole in terms of episode by episode. And we won't spend too long on it because, of course, we've got other things to discuss throughout the course of this wrap-up episode for season two. But as you rightly pointed out, Johnson, the first episode was Anthony Joshua versus Vladimir Klitschko. And I remember we wanted to do a really good opening episode and a really good fight in particular. And we wanted to do something that was quite recent as well, and this was the perfect example of a recent fight that captivated a lot of people. And essentially, it was a transcending fight, especially for British boxing. You know, we talked about Carl Froch and George Groves in the first season, how that transcended British boxing. But obviously, this win for Anthony Joshua over Klitschko, it sent Anthony Joshua into superstardom. You know, even though Klitschko was, it was at the end of his career, he was coming back. He put on a career best performance that night and yeah, shocked a lot of people, including ourselves. But it was the night where really Anthony Joshua could be told, you know, he's a legit guy at the top level. He's a legit heavyweight champion. He's not just a guy who's a paper champion. He's legit. And he beat a guy in Vladimir Klitschko, like I said, put on the best career performance. It was great to see him kind of go out on a high note as opposed to being remembered as a guy that was quite a boring fighter to watch through large parts of his career. And like you said, when we put these episodes together and we started to put more details about the careers and the lives of the fighters outside of it, it became more enjoyable for us to do and to deliver because we was able to tell more stories about certain aspects of the careers. This first one, I really enjoyed it because of the fight itself. Because of that fight, I knew that we thoroughly enjoyed doing this one. And I know that a lot of people, the reaction from it was just as good because they enjoyed this particular fight. It was quite recent, so it was fresh in a lot of people's memories. So it was a great way to start it. And ironically, this was actually the shortest episode of the whole season. Episode one at 1 hour and 14 minutes.
it is interesting because I feel like we got quite a lot in there, even the stuff about Vlad's dad. Because he was in the Chernobyl stuff, wasn't he? And that was basically how he ended up dying. That stuff like that, those little aspects of these stories are always great, you know. And I think you get a feel of each fighter before it leads them into this, to their biggest fights, generally, it tends to be anyway. But shortest episode, 1 hour and 14. And I must admit, when I listen back to it, I got some goosebumps sort of when we was explaining the fight and then with the little the cut-ins you put in. It was really great to listen back on. It was lovely. Even the build-up promo for it was really exciting. It's nice sometimes to do these legendary nights, and we were there. We've been there. We witnessed it. We see it. So that's been another part of it that we love to do. And I'm gonna jump onto the second one. And that, speaking of being there and witnessing certain fights, nothing gets bigger than the tale of Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield, episode two. The two fights we done finally, and then we did the Sound and the Fury, which ended up being the famous bite fight. But that was a great one, that one, Sean, wasn't it?
I enjoyed doing that one because it was a fight where it wasn't just the one, it was two. And there were two fights where there was just infamy. They were both infamous, really, because obviously we talked about Tyson in the first fight. Tyson had coming off the back of prison and coming off the back of all these wins, looked as dangerous as he'd ever looked in his career. And then Holyfield wasn't really given that much of a chance going into that first fight. And the way he bullied Tyson in the first fight, much to the surprise of everybody around, just went to show people that actually Tyson isn't as invincible as what people think he is, even though, you know, he's come out of prison and he looks very mean and he's kicking the ass of a lot of fighters and he's just looks like an absolute animal, and he was. But Evander Holyfield was his bogeyman. Buster Douglas was his first bogeyman. Evander Holyfield was his second bogeyman in his career. It was enjoyable to do because of the stories surrounding it. I think more so, we lived through this fight, so we got the benefit of being able to remember what it was like at the time. But also, looking back on it and going through the years, you get all the interviews that have happened since that fight has occurred. You get all the stories of it from the guys themselves. So to be able to get that sort of information from both guys about how that fight and how both fights were for them makes the tale even greater because you're actually getting to hear it in their words and not so much our words and our opinions. You're also getting to hear their words and what they felt about both fights. So that's what made it for me. That's what made it an even greater tale than just us talking about these two fights and just giving our opinions. And whilst we love to do that, we also like to, as you're aware now, we like to bring you a lot of great stories that surround it, and that's the whole point. We love to tell you stories, and there was a lot of stories surrounding these fights and the involvement of a certain Don King and Evander Holyfield obviously losing part of his ear, and the way it really sent Tyson into a bit of a downward spiral again after the first, second fight. And it was just a very interesting tale. Really enjoyed that one. Really enjoyed doing it. And I felt like it was, it was just a great way to transition from episode 2 and then transition to episode 3, which was yet another absolutely brilliant fight and another infamous fight.
Oh, mate, what you just said there with the fact that we had the tale from both sides. We had Tyson, we had Evander speaking sort of in between the rounds as well, with even how they felt about certain moments in the fight, which is a great way I felt of actually describing the fight, was how they were feeling at the time and what was going through Tyson's head, especially in the second fight, and what happened and what Holyfield thought when he felt that burning sensation in his ear. And then afterwards to hear Mike Tyson go back after all the dramas, mad fights happening all over the shop, weren't they? The MGM was just on lockdown because there's people fighting each other, there's fights outside, there's shots fired, and at the end of it, Mike Tyson goes back, smokes some weed, and has a sleep. I think that is just brilliant. It just always tickled me, that bit, just hearing what he did after. He was so angry, and then he said, I smoked a spliff, settled down, went to sleep, and then woke up, and it was like nothing had ever happened. What a great story, loved it. All of them have been brilliant. I mean, we'll say our favourite ones at the end, but this was definitely one of them for me.
So transitioning for episode number 3, the tale of Julio Cesar Chavez, Meldrick Taylor, not only was it a brilliant fight, but it was the infamy of how the fight ended, which was the big talking point of it all, really. These two guys were at the peak of their powers when they fought in 1990. And you wouldn't have thought that, you know, these types of fights would enthrall you and engross you so much by watching them back once again. And this was another one that did, because when you go back and watch it, if you've not watched it for a long time, you're actually really engrossed about how the fight goes down and how it's a case of, you know, a tale of two halves, really, in this fight, of how Taylor was bossing it and how Chavez was able to come back. And then right at the end, obviously, he drops him. The referee stops the fight with, minimal seconds to go. And all the infamy surrounding, was Meldrick Taylor in the position to continue? Should things have been checked by the referee correctly? Was the corner at fault? There was many variables in this episode that we covered, that we enjoyed. So, you know, if you're listening to this wrap-up episode and you've not had a chance to listen to any of these episodes, by the way, then please go back and check it. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you'll have listened to everything, I'm sure. But even if you think, you know, actually, I might go and listen to that again, I think we did a really great job on that, and I'm really happy with what we put out for everybody, because it was one of them tales that, yes, it had been done by HBO many, many years ago, but I felt like, again, because we had the benefit of more time passing since that Legendary Nights HBO documentary, we get more insight from the fighters even all these years later. More things get said, more interesting takes get put into it, and that's why we've enjoyed doing Chavez and Taylor once more, because of the fact that there's so many different variables surrounding how the fight ended that it made it more intriguing to have a conversation about and give our thoughts as to what we think should have happened after Meldrick Taylor got dropped down. Again, Johnston, I know you enjoyed this one just as much as I did, but what did you make of the whole tale surrounding Chavez and Taylor?
Oh, it was definitely one of the best we put together. Just the story. I mean, the actual fight itself is just theatrical, isn't it? It's marvellous. I mean, you see how Meldrick Taylor's just bossing it. I mean, for the best part of 10 rounds even, and it is just a one-man show at times, and Chavez is just, he just can't find a target, he can't keep with him. And then there is a change, you know, a slight punch, fatigue on Taylor's part, where he allows Chavez to come back into the fight, and that's when he really goes for broke, and obviously that's where those that were the Mexican fans, and I think we put that together, the fact that Meldrick was from Philly and Chavez from Mexico. We managed to saw some great quotes from what it meant to be a Mexican warrior and what it meant to be from Philly and the sort of fighters that they had to portray. And I think they it was perfect. It was, and we had got the perspective of time compared to the, like you say, with the HBO documentary. But when you look back, I can't help it. I mean, if I watch it now, if we put it on now, my heart would still drop every time for Taylor, because I just think there's so much going on within such a small time limit. I mean, you're talking seconds, and there are so many different aspects of who's at fault here. But I just feel for poor Taylor, because I think he deserved to get the nod. I think it goes to the cards, he wins it. And I think he deserved to get that. And then he could have had the rematch after. And I think it effectively ruined Taylor's career. So on that, I think we put that together marvellously. Not to be like too big head with it, but I thought we'd done this. Honestly, it was. I think we did this fight a lot of justice. I really do.
Well, the next fight is definitely one that I knew we'd covered a lot of the careers of both of these individuals before for career profiles and for the other fights that they competed in. We did the Fight of the Century episode for Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali, and we enjoyed doing it, even though we'd obviously done number three, The Thriller in Manila, in season one, and we'd done both career profiles of these guys. The Fight of the Century, There was a story that needed to be told yet again. It's been told many times in many different ways, but for our series, we felt like we needed to tell it again. And we needed to tell it in a way which give people a real understanding of what this fight and the magnitude of it meant to so many people at the time. And that was, again, the great benefit of time, is that there's so much literature out there. And so many accounts from people who were there, that we were able to properly get a feel from them and their words as to how this all went down, what it really meant to people, how it affected both men's careers, the collision course that they went on to get to that first fight between Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali, how it all intertwined together, was a really enjoyable part of covering that particular fight in that episode, because there were so many stories with them both. There's always so many stories. Just when you think you know all the stories, something new comes up, something that you haven't heard about comes up. And that's the great thing about these two fighters, in Frazier and Ali, is that their legacies are going to far surpass many, many people. They're far going to surpass us. This fight took place way before the pair of us were born, and yet we still talk about it 50 years down the line. I mean, we released this episode, I think it was in the same week it was 50 years to the date of the fight. Yeah. I remember releasing the episode because we did the interview with Mark Cram Jr. On his book on Frazier, and we did that on the main feed. And it was a really good way to sort of celebrate that particular fight. And I just thoroughly enjoyed doing it because of the story and the fight itself. And I can't really stress enough to everybody that listens to it. You know, we do sound like we're sort of giving ourselves a lot of pats on the back here. It's not so much about that. It's just trying to express to you guys what it means to us to sit down, get it all together and put it out there to you guys. Because when we've delivered something like this, like that fight and that story surrounding it, I walk away at the end of the night after recording the episode and I think, you know what? That was absolutely great. That was absolutely great. And we were the ones recording it. We were the guys actually recording the episode. And then I walk away from it thinking, bloody hell, that's gonna be a really good lesson. And that's because of how much information is out there to put together. And it is all about how it's put together. I think for me personally, as a podcast listener and a consumer myself, and I listen to other people's podcasts and on different topics, aside from boxing, as long as they tell a good story, I'm happy. If it's something that just drones on for hours and hours and they're just going around the houses with all the facts, it bores me. So that's why I know when we do our stuff, it's always that important for us to make sure there's relevant stories in there, and then it gives you a bit of a sense of a timeline of what was going on and when and how it led into the fights that we talk about. So Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali, definitely one of my favourites that we've ever done.
Oh, mate, absolutely. The fact that you said right at the top of that was the fact that we've done a Joe Frazier and a Muhammad Ali career profile. Now, albeit Muhammad Ali was done when we didn't sort of go into as much detail as you like. I mean, we did get a lot in there. I mean, everyone knows Muhammad Ali, but we didn't necessarily source the amount of information we did, say, for Joe Frazier. But two career profiles, and we've done Thriller Manila, but yet we still managed to find more stories. And I think that just says it all about these two. There's so much information on Muhammad Ali. And there's a lot of information on Joe Frazier, not as much. And the special part of it, obviously, was talking to Mark Cram Jr. I mean, the fact that we used Mark Cram Jr.'s book, and then we used quotes from Mark Cram Sr. in Sports Illustrated. I mean, how great's that? I mean, and to hear Mark Cram Jr. speak about sort of the fights he had been to and encountered, and to feel his love for the sport of boxing like we do, I think that just it was just a beautiful thing to really do for us. I think it was that's definitely.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I know it wasn't a part of the episode as such, you know, it was an ad hoc thing, but it was really great to do. And the fact that it's the second longest episode says a lot about these two. I mean, the fight of the century was just marvelous. It really is, the whole thing, the 70s and everything around it. Ali sort of coming back from his exile. We went into a lot of that. We didn't really touch on his exile, but we really went into the exile on this while Frazier was champion. And I thought that built that chemistry, and it gave the listener a feeling of how big this fight really was when it happened in 1971. So a special one for me too, Sean.
Episode number 5 was the tale of Sugar Ray Leonard versus Thomas Hearns, the showdown in 1981, the first big encounter between these two. It's something we didn't do for season 1. I know we covered at least one fight from each of the Fab Four, but to be able to do the original fight, which was Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns in 81, I think was, it's not so much the original fight, because Duran Leonard was the original fight, to be fair, correcting myself there, but the original fight between these two individuals, I think was so important to make sure that we covered, because many people do put requests in. As you guys know, there's many people that are messaging and say, could you do a career profile on this, or could you cover this particular fight? And we always try to get as many great fights in as possible, and many fights that have got many stories surrounding it, and I'm sure you've guessed now that is how we kind of roll with our podcasts when it comes to the series based stuff, that we like to tell a good story surrounding the fight. As per season one was just all about our opinions of the fights, and you know what, really, it wasn't really about what happened in the build-up so much, it was more so about how this fight got together and how the fight went down and what happened afterwards. Yeah. Whereas, you know, now, as we said, for season 2, it will all be about how these careers intertwined, what the build-up was like, the fight itself, what happened in the aftermath of it all. And I think we've done a great job of doing that across the whole season. But, you know, it was more important to make sure we picked the right level of fights for the season. And I think Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns is definitely one of those that we'd not already covered that needed to be there.
Yeah, I mean, another thing was season 1, we always did a poll, always put a poll out, so always pick 4 fights, and we'd always look at it in the perspective of how good the fight was, and that was how it always was, not necessarily the tale behind it. And when you put something out on social media, you know, it went out on Twitter, and, you know, I'm not disrespecting any boxing followers on Twitter, but, you know, when you see if certain fights that you will see amongst those 4, and you're going to pick them, ain't you? And this was one that always sort of, for some reason, it was in there and it just didn't come out on top. But then, you know, we did have Duran and Leonard, and, you know, there were massive fights in there from season 1. But so, yeah, as you say, it was just something we had to do, the showdown. We always wanted to do it. And I think that was another aspect of season 2 as well, is where we pretty much handpicked these, if not all of them. Otherwise, someone would have asked us to do them. So, but yeah, this, I mean, you're blowing it, son. You're blowing it. It's just, it's the famous words from Angelo Dundee and the fact that, you know, just two of the greatest fighters that have ever lived. Again, two career profiles we've done, Hearns and Leonard, but yet we still managed to source newer information for the build-up. And I think the one thing I will say is how much their careers intertwined was unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, I know we always spoke about the fact they could have fought earlier and Angelo Dundee come back from his fishing trip and says, no, they must not fight. And he managed to cancel that first fight. And he see that, you know, this fight's going to be huge for a few years later on. And he was bang on. I mean, it was absolutely right. But the fact is it was just, it was weird how they fought in the same venues. They fought a week apart. It was always inevitable that these two were going to get it on. And what a fight it was.
So episode number 6 was the tale of Donald Currier and Lloyd Hunnigan, a fight that maybe people don't always consider to be a legendary night, but I think it was for us. It was a fight that really always, did. Yeah. It is, yeah. You're right, Johnston. It changed the landscape. It was one of the big British boxing upsets that happened over the years. And this particular fight, you know, this was like Donald Currier was mentioned as being as good as Sugar Ray Leonard at this time. People felt he was, you know, as good as, if not better than Sugar Ray Leonard. Some people argued that fact. Lloyd Hunnigan was the British fighter who had gone over without much of a chance, that they didn't even issue a betting line on Lloyd Hunnigan because they thought his chances were absolutely slim to none. And he goes over and he causes one of the biggest upsets in boxing history. And that tale had to be told. And the careers of these two individuals were so different, really, because obviously you look at Lloyd Hunnigan's path to where he got to against Donald Currier, and it was quite different, whereas Donald Currier was always steadily progressing and always being touted as the number one of the division and the number one of the best pound-for-pound fighters on the planet at that time. And it was, you know, it was a typical underdog story. Lloyd Hunnigan was the underdog. Donald Currier was like the Apollo Creed, and Lloyd Hunnigan was like the Rocky of this particular story. But Lloyd Hunnigan went over there and showed how talented he was and dethroned Donald Currier in what was a brilliant fight, a great fight to watch, a great tale to do. And I hope you guys listening, I hope you did enjoy listening to that one, because I kind of felt like it was, out of all the tales that we did, it might be the one where people might think, you know, it's not as good as the rest of them. It's all right, but it's not as good as the rest of them over the course of the whole season. I think if I'm going to say anyone give me that sort of feeling, that was the one. And not because of the fight, not because of the way we recorded it and delivered it, just more so the way of, I know what boxing on social media can be like, and the average boxing fan's knowledge of certain fights and certain eras is, it's a bit overstated sometimes. So I didn't know if this one would be appreciated as much, but I think there was a lot of long-time listeners, and a big thanks to all of you that did mention that they did enjoy this episode.
Yeah, mate. The fact that Lloyd Hunnigan rocked up in the Caesar's Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City, rocking his purple sequins and took on the might of Donald Curry and literally beat him up was just fantastic. It really was. I mean, the weight issues were a big thing we mentioned in this, and the Americans like to allude to that. But Donald Curry was never the same after this Lloyd Hunnigan defeat. And Lloyd Hunnigan was quite simply marvellous. He really was. And he was the complete underdog. They weren't even taking betting lines over the phone. I mean, that was one thing we laughed about when we were doing it, Sean, wasn't it? It isn't, obviously, you know, it's not as so much with the stories in terms of the ins and outs of the ring. But again, the information wasn't really there on Lloyd, but I thought we'd done a great bit of work, a bit of research there to dig deep to get all this information in that we did. And we're really pleased with the outcome. And like you say, it really was a rocky moment for Lloyd Hunnigan. Brilliant. I think it is, bar probably Ken Buchanan, maybe Stracey. I mean, they're the only two I can probably say that could maybe just overshadow the Hunnigan win over Curry, but if not one of the best British results I've ever seen in boxing.
So episode 7 was where it started to get a little bit tasty for us in terms of the level of content and the stories that were surrounding. Now, obviously, when we put the season together, we did look at a lot of fights. And as Johnston, as you said, we picked pretty much all of these ourselves. I think barring two of them, I think we picked the other eight of these episodes where, you know, we sat down and we honestly had a chat with each other. And then we said, like, what sort of fights and what sort of stories can we bring to this season? And the next story was absolutely, to be honest with you, it blew my mind. It blew my mind in the sense that how did I not know about this tale beforehand? How did I not really appreciate this tale beforehand? And I'm talking about the tale of Roberto Duran and Esteban de Zeus. These two guys had three amazing fights, three brilliant fights, a real tale. But it was the build-up to the fights and the needle of the fights that really compelled me with this tale. It really got me gripped on I wish I would have been around for it. I wish I would have been a fly on the wall for it, because it doesn't always give it the justice it probably deserves, because we haven't lived through it, or we wasn't there for it at the time. We were telling it in retrospect, and we're telling it based on accounts of people that were there at the time, or the literature on the reports of people that were ringside for these fights. It just gives us goosebumps talking about the fights and talking about how they were. And we are fortunate enough to have things like YouTube around, so we can watch these fights back. And we're very fortunate that we do have all this, because if we didn't, we wouldn't be able to actually have the benefit of talking about these fights and these stories the way we've been able to do it. But this was one that really, again, as I said earlier, Johnson, when I finish a podcast and I finish a recording with you, and I go back down in my house and I think to myself, actually, you know what, that was an absolutely brilliant episode. And this was one of them where I actually sat there and I felt, this has got to be one of the best episodes we've done. This just the stories, everything surrounding it, the whole tale. I just think Roberto Duran is always known for his encounters in the Fab Four with Leonard, with Hearns, with Hagler, but no one really ever talks about his trilogy with de Zeus. And I think that was the one thing that we wanted to get out of this episode, was to bring it to the forefront, to give people this tale and for them to go back and look at it and go, actually, you know what? This is one of the most underrated boxing trilogies ever.
Oh, mate, absolutely is. It really is. it blows my mind, really, sort of when we started to really put it all together, and the fact is that, like we say, we sat down and we discussed some of these and what ones we were going to put out, and this was definitely one. Duran de Zeus, when you see it on paper, you sort of think, are we actually going to get enough on this? Is this really going to work well? And I must say that, you know, as soon as we started really digging deep, and Sports Illustrated, huge part of it, you know, they were able to, we found so much information on the build up to these fights and interviews they did. And obviously, Esteban de Zeus started to get interviewed more and more. And then obviously, Duran's book, we used a bit of that for it as well. And he speaks a lot about Esteban. But yeah, the fact was just that, like you mentioned, the literacy from Sports Illustrated at the time was brilliant. I mean, the words they were putting together, like, you know, just the infuriated street fighter was suddenly an artist. I mean, just little things like that. It was just beautiful. And then just putting them in the right time, making sure that it all fit well. And then obviously the tragic ending of Esteban, we stuck in the end, very briefly went through that. Didn't go into too much detail. It's impossible for a dark side of the boxing without giving too much away on that. But not season two, by the way. But yeah, it's definitely one we'll be looking at doing. But just the story of the build-up, the fight itself, the two knockdowns and poor Duran getting caught early from Esteban. But and a complete forgotten trilogy. And in fact, it was an hour and a half, and I thought we was probably looking at just over an hour. So massively, massively happy that we managed to get all the information in for this, because it was a real great, a gem of a story.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It really was, but not so much as episode number 8. Episode number 8 is probably, for me, the shining light, the pinnacle of Legendary Knights Season 2. And that's not discrediting anything else we did throughout the season. But it was just, again, another obscure tale from many, many years ago that I don't think had been given that much light in recent times, or hadn't been given that much literature on. You know, there's fights that we've done and they've been covered to death by many different people, by many different podcasts. And okay, I know we pride ourselves on the way we present them and deliver them, and we kind of feel like we're one of the best out there at doing that. But it has been, some of these fights have been done to death, let's be honest, by some of the well-known pundits out there.
Yep.
They have. But this next tale, the tale of Emile Griffith and Benny Kidd Perrette, that's hardly been done. That tale has hardly been done. That whole tale of these two guys getting in the ring and having a trilogy of fights, and the tragedy and the ecstasy and the agony all combined into one, I don't think had been done at all. And this was something that, obviously, when we discussed, you brought to the table, Johnston, and you get all the credit for this, because you brought this one to the table and you said, look, I've got a tale here that maybe not a lot of people know about. And it's like, when you look into the depths of it all, I was like, oh my God, this is an absolute belting story. Very, very sad, of course, but in terms of the whole fight surrounding it, the homophobic slurs, the racial slurs, everything that went in surrounding this fight, if this fight would have been in this generation now, in the social media generation, oh my God, it would have gone viral. It would have blew up social media. The whole slurs, the whole homophobia, the death, of course, this would have literally killed off social media. It would have gone that viral that people would have been absolutely going nuts for this tale, for these fights with people. You think about what people get viral over now, and you think about something like this in this era, and it would have absolutely blew the roof off social media. It really would have done. But honestly, this was one of the best episodes. Again, they said it about Duran Jesus. This is definitely up there as one of my favourites.
Oh, it had everything, didn't it? It really did. We're talking about Emile Griffith, which was so early in his career. I mean, we mentioned it at the end, but his career went on and on and on. Massive fights after that, but it's just an incredible story. It really is, from the get-go. And you know, my feeling came from the point when I watched that documentary of Emile Griffith, The Ring of Fire. It stuck with me for years. I watched it whenever, pretty much not far after it was released, and I remember thinking, a gay boxer, that intrigued me from the off. And and then finding out that a gay boxer then kills a guy in the ring, and it is like, what the hell is this about? This is just crazy story. And from that point it gripped me, and I thought, it's definitely one we've got to do. My worry was always, can we get enough on Benny Perrette? And thankfully we did. We got some great information on Benny Perrette, and so it was the whole thing, that the story comes together from that point. When you're able to source enough on both fighters, it just is incredible. I mean, the fact that in the 60s, you know, he was pretty much open gay, not as such, but he was. People within the field knew he was. But, you know, the unmanned stuff that came out, they couldn't actually print that he was a homosexual. It's just crazy, because it's just a different era. I mean, and then the sickening end. It's very traumatic to watch at times. It sends shivers down your spine, and it was very explicit at times. But I must say, I think, for me, this is one of the best, as a story as a whole, not just the three fights, but the story as a whole is one of the best Legendary Knights to ever done.
I agree. Well, episode 9 was actually commissioned by Dan Lusey, one of our patrons. Dan, big shout out to you. You commissioned the tale of Joe Calzaghe and Mikhail Kessler, a fight that I think is forgotten about and underrated because of the way the careers have gone on. And obviously Joe Calzaghe's career following that fight, and of course Mikhail Kessler's career following that fight in particular. But this one particular fight, this one night in 2007, when these two guys were fighting for ultimate supremacy in the super middleweight division, I think you forget how good of an actual fight it was. And yeah, there was quite a bit of information in the build-up to this fight. A lot of needle going into it, really. Not so much nastiness, but more competitiveness going into this fight. And the fight itself, again, it's a brilliant, brilliant fight to go back and watch. It's a very highly competitive, highly skilled fight. And it's one of those fights where you could go back and watch it and analyse it again and again, and you realise how good of a fighter Joe Calzaghe was and how much of a warrior Mikhail Kessler was. And this is what, prime for prime. I mean, Calzaghe was, what, 35 at the time this fight happened? This was really Calzaghe's, one of his crowning nights. We always talk about Jeff Lacy as his defining night. I think that's the one that put him on the map for sure. But beating a guy undefeated in his prime like Mikhail Kessler again at the age of 35, I think was an absolutely supreme achievement that doesn't really get appreciated as much as what it should. And I was glad that Dan, you know, you picked this episode for us for the season. And I was glad that you did, because, you know, sometimes you look at things and you think, oh, Joe Calzaghe, Mikhail Kessler. You think back at the first and you think, oh, it wasn't really a lot with that one, was it? You know, is that really going to make a good story? Is that really going to be something that people enjoy listening to? And then you start to delve into the research of it all. You start to go back through the literature of it all. You watch the fight and you think, oh my God, yeah, again, it's another brilliant fight that needs to be covered. So yeah, we're glad that we did this one. It was a brilliant way to set us up for the finale, which we've recently done, which was episode number 10. So if Johnston, if you want to give your thoughts on Calzaghe Kessler and then take us straight into the final episode.
Yeah, I think the Calzaghe Kessler fight, I mean, it was really refreshing after doing Griffith and Perret, because it got quite dark, that one. when you read through it, you felt like really, it's quite emotional to just read through all that. So it's refreshing to get just a fight. And it was nice to have that build up with Calzaghe Kessler. It was funny at times. And then the fight itself, and just to sit down and actually watch a cracking fight and then discuss it and then put it out there, it was really good. I can't thank him enough for Dan for picking that one, because it was nice to just get back to the boxing stuff, side of stuff. And then we jump into season 10 and then it goes back to that gritty side of things again with Larry Holmes and Jerry Cooney in 1982, literally a few months before I was born. And oh my goodness me, another cracker, wasn't it, really? The fight itself for me, you think Calzaghe Kessler, Calzaghe Kessler's a better fight than Holmes Cooney. Jerry Cooney was nowhere near the level of Larry Holmes. And I think we made that point pretty clear. That wasn't what made this Tao legendary. What made it legendary was the racism that surrounded it, and the black and the white, and the way Don King and Jerry Cooney's side, not Cooney or Holmes, but their teams, the way they publicised the fights. And it was actually, some of the shit that come out was pretty, well, it was explicit and damn right wrong. So, but again, you know, it was good to allude to it. You know, like, I not only 39 years ago now. So, some dark stuff in there, Sean, wasn't there?
It was a brilliant, brilliant fight for me, and it was a brilliant build-up and a great way to end the season. I think Holmes and Cooney's a story, again, it has been done. It has been done a few times before by all the well-documented and well-publicised outlets out there. But again, we couldn't not do a really good finale. And ironically, it's funny because Larry Holmes gets in the finale again, because he was in the finale of season 1 against Ken Norton, and then he gets in the finale of season 2 against Jerry Cooney. But it's the whole racial aspect of it that provided a brilliant story for this, and the giving context to what people actually made this fight into. People that weren't the competitors in the ring that made this fight what it was, and they promoted it in the way that it was promoted. And the two guys, all they wanted to do was just get in the ring and see who was the better fighter. And essentially, that's what it boiled down to between the two of them. But everyone else surrounding it was all about making as much money as possible. The fact that they needed snipers on the roofs, you know, that's how bad it got from a racial perspective, that there was a lot of fears of either man being shot by a different extremist group of their ethnicity. It's absolutely crazy. Jesus to think Christ. I think that'll be the only time you'll ever see that happen. I don't think you'll ever see that happen again, because it'll never get made that way because of the way political correctness is today. And even though a lot of racism still goes on and it is in plain sight all the time, In high-profile events like this, it wouldn't be allowed to happen. Whereas then, it was all part and parcel of the society and the culture. And whilst it was wrong to promote it that way, it made it what it was, and it's the reason why we picked it as our finale for season two, is because it had to be retold again. We had to speak about it. We had to speak about the difficulties for both men, the aftermath for both men, and the nice ending to the story of them becoming very good friends, I think was a great way to end the season of all the darkness that we've had to cover with, obviously, Duran and D'Souza and Griffith and Perret, and obviously the racial stuff around Holmes and Cooney. It was nice to end the season on a good note of these two guys becoming very good friends and helping each other out in the end. So it was great, and that pretty much does wrap our season up, doesn't it? It has 10 episodes that we've done, 10 episodes that we've selected that we've really enjoyed. So we've got a few stats then, Johnston, if you want to go through a couple of the stats, and I'll go through the other couple, and just let the guys know that are listening, like, what this actually meant as an overall season stats wise
yes, yeah, so just putting out how many divisions, how many Legendary Nights we've done amongst the divisions. Again, you know, the heavyweight division always tends to just roll out on top. And we got four fights that were in the heavyweight division, and we had three fights from the welterweight division, and then we had one from super middleweight, one from light welter, and one from lightweight. But I've also, just out of curiosity, because we did do a little stats thing as well for our Legendary Nights in season one, and we are now, as a Legendary Night as a whole, we have done 12 heavyweight fights. It rolls out 12 heavyweight fights we've done over the span of, 40 episodes there? And then the next one in line, funny enough, two of them is the super middleweights on five, the middleweights on five. But ahead of those, the welterweight division. So the welterweight division, the two glamour divisions. If you needed any stats to prove it, heavyweight and welterweight. So we've got 12 on heavyweight and then 6 on welterweight. They are the main weights that tend to be Legendary Nights then from.
So the nationalities was another one that we put down on the list. So we've done the fights involving 10 Americans, 2 English, 1 Welsh, 1 Dane, 1 Panamanian, 1 Cuban, 1 Ukrainian, 1 Mexican, 1 Puerto Rican, and one from the US Virgin Islands. So we've actually covered...
diversity at its best, mate.
Definitely diversity at its best. So we've covered a lot of different nationalities for the season. In terms of eras as well, eras was quite interesting, because we always worry that, are you going to select too many of the same era? In this one, we did one from the 60s, two from the 70s, three from the 80s, two from the 90s, one from the 2000s, and one from the 2010, which I thought was good. Again, a good mix and a good variety of the ones there. The total hours for season two, for everybody, you've been listening to this season, if you've listened to every single episode, you've listened to 14 hours and 58 minutes of us just talking at you and telling your stories. What about that?
Wow. That's brilliant. I mean, it just shows we do put the work in, and, you know, we just hope you enjoy your listen. It's a long time we spend putting it together. So to actually see the hours that we've actually put out, recorded hours, is incredible. I mean, it goes a little bit beyond that. Probably recorded hours, probably knocking on at least an extra hour there, Sean, with the amount of times my pronunciations are all over the shop. But just you mentioned the eras. We love the 80s, Sean. I know we're both born in the 80s, so it's probably a reason why. But yeah, that is the one. Isn't actually, sorry, I'm to the light. It's the noughties. The noughties are the ones that I think we've had about 10 in across the board of the noughties, of where we've actually watched it. But then it's the 80s after that. We've had 8 altogether in all Legendary Nights, and then the 70s is another one we enjoy. So yeah, they tend to be the eras. But for me, I love the 80s. I mean, the 80s, that's special about it. The music and the fighters are around at the time. It's always great fun to do those ones.
So we've done a little bit of a small list of our best ones of this episode. Now, I've had the benefit of looking at the Johnston's list, and now your list is actually pretty much the same as mine. There's no differences in the actual list. And I know you've put quite a few there, Johnston, but rather than us doing what you'd initially put down, I think we should just stick to a top three for this one, because my top three is the same as your top three, to be fair. So these are the top three episodes that we've done this season where we kind of feel that They've stood out to us. We've really thoroughly enjoyed them. We've walked away from these episodes thinking, my God, that was a brilliant session to sit down and record. And also, we've been really really enjoyed by the feedback that we've got and the reception that we've had on these particular episodes, and also the fact that we've been able to bring these stories to life in different ways that haven't been done before. And at number three, we've both selected Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali, the fight of the century, as our third best placed of this particular season. And I'm not going to go into it again. I think everybody knows the reasons why we've selected that one. But number two was Duran and DeZeus. Both of us picked Duran and DeZeus at number two because, as we've already said, it's the stories. The stories that had not been told very many times before, I think, is what really, really got to us in a positive way. It's like, When you read about these stories and you learn more about what happened with them, you see the fights that surrounded the events, and you think to yourself, oh my God, this needs to be told. We need to tell this in the way we tell our stories. And that's why Duran DeZeus comes in at number two. But number one, there was, without a shadow of a doubt, this one was the best episode. And it's probably, for me, I'm going out on a limb, over the course of 40 episodes that we've done in two seasons, this is probably my favourite one. And it's my favourite one because it is a story, again, that has not been told and not been done to death by many different journalists. It's been done by a few in an article format, but no one's ever really done this as an overall podcast or put anything out there on the level that we've done it on. So our number one was Emile Griffith and Benny Perrette. That was the one for us that was the top of this season. But me, Johnston, this is the best one we've ever done for me personally. Let me know what you think about that obviously list, them top three that we've both selected. But Griffith and Perrette, man, that's my favourite. That's my all-time favourite.
It's up there. It is for me. I don't think it's just, I thought we did it justice, I think. And in fact, We've always tried to find the legendary night of our own. And I think that this is those two in particular. I mean, Griffith Perrette and then Duran DeZeus are two fights that people don't necessarily know about. And we managed to put enough information in there to create the vibe of those times and also how the fights went and then what happened in between and the stories. And I think because of that, I think that's why Griffith Perrette is the best I think we've ever done, and then Duran DeZeus ain't far off. But I will say is that the reason why those two are so good, and obviously Frazier Ali in third, rightly so as well, is because what was the catalyst to do this? And for me, looking at season one, so we've just picked your top three. So just throwing out our top three that I've got down here, I've just found a bit of a documentation that we put down as our best three for season one in terms of stories, not just the fights. Pryor Arguello, Hagler Hearns, Ali Frazier three. So just interesting, those were the catalysts to just create these three that we've got. But again, Frazier Ali back in the top three again. And I mean, you take those three from season one to the three from season two. Oh, What were you picking there at your best shot?
I think Griffith Perrette still comes up at number one for me. It really does. I think Pryor Arguello was a very, very good one. Hagler Hearns, again, very, very good. And, well, Ali Frazier Ali, goes without saying, really. But I think, again, I'm just going to reiterate to everybody that it is, for us, when we put these episodes together, as you've gathered over the past 12 to 18 months, the way we've started to deliver the stories in the way we have, I think you can kind of gather that the types of stories that thrill us to do and thrill us to present to you guys are the ones that have not been done on many, many occasions. Many, many, many occasions. I mean, like Hagler Hearns, there's a new book that's just been brought out about Hagler Hearns. I think it's Bill Detlov who's brought this new book out about the war. So it's like, what other information has he put together for that book that we didn't? You know, these types of things get done over and over and over again. Frazier Ali, there's just been another Muhammad Ali documentary by Ken Burns over four separate episodes that has just gone out there. And it's about an hour and a half per episode. So there's about 6 hours of documentary on the Muhammad Ali to go and watch. Do you know what I mean? So there's so many more other details that we might have not already picked up ourselves for our episodes that might want us, you know, we might want to revisit some of these. But it's ones for me like Duran DeZeus, Griffith Perrette, them two in particular have stood out for me by a long shot because when you go on and you search for these stories, yeah, you'll find a couple of articles that have been written by well-known journalists in the past, but you won't find a lot of stuff that's been done in the same format we've done it in. And that's why we've really thoroughly enjoyed putting it together and putting the second season together for you, is because this is what we do. This is what we thoroughly enjoy doing. And we're glad that people have perceived the episodes and perceived the season very well, and that you guys are already asking for certain fights for another season, which is amazing. And we keep saying to you guys, if you've ever got any recommendations, things that we've overlooked ourselves, or things that, you know, we might want to investigate a bit further, then always do message us and tell us, because we do make notes of them. I had a few messages just as the season was ending of a few fights that I thought, yeah, that seems like a good one to go and investigate and see what we can put together for it, and see if that would make a good future episode. So, guys, if you've got any other recommendations, always throw them at us. Always throw them at us, because Legendary Nights...
Yes, please.
Even though it was all about the fights originally, and it was all about doing the best fights out there, that was our original premise of the series. The premise around the series has changed dramatically, really, and it's gone more along the storytelling format. And we like to tell stories about these legendary tales, so it's not just more so about Legendary Nights. The season probably should be called Legendary Tales now, not Legendary Nights, but yeah. everybody knows it as Legendary Nights, so we stick to Legendary Nights. But as we always say when we start the episodes, if it's more of a tale, if it's more of a story, as opposed to just one individual night, one individual fight, then we'll present it in that format, because that's what people enjoy. That's what our niche is. That's what people enjoy us presenting to you. So, of course, we'll continue to do that. So for a season three, are we going to do a season three, Johnston? Is there enough out there to do a season three?
Yeah, I think we've got enough fights to do a season three. There are a few, because we're jumping onto the dark side of boxing, and that's just about to, we've already put one away, actually, which is great news. I did put a list together, actually. We need to sit down and discuss it. But yeah, there are a few on there where we've got a couple of great tales as well that we could go and delve into. So we definitely get a season three. We want to keep these, it's just developed into these big storylines as well. So we will mix it up and have you know, your Calzaghe Kessler fights kind of thing. But we'll definitely do a season three, but I think we've just got to keep limiting them, Sean. Like I think we've both said that, I think that 10 episodes is probably just about right. But yeah, there's one thing I would like to say, and that's, if, you know, we both agree, Benny Perrette and Emil Griffith are fantastic, great episode. And the last line, and Emil Griffith says, I keep thinking how strange it is. I kill a man and most people understand and forgive me. However, I love a man and many say this makes me an evil person. I mean, holy shit, man. That's just madness, isn't it?
Madness. Well, guys, that's it. That's our wrap-up for season two. You know, we hope you've enjoyed it. We hope we've been able to bring you a bit of an insight into, you know, what's been good about doing the season, what we've enjoyed, giving a recap on the episode, some figures surrounding it. Yes, there will be a season three, for definite. Unfortunately, we can't do season three and Dark Side of Boxing and Career Profiles and run the main feed at the same time. So apologies, you know, I can only apologise to you guys that we can't deliver it, you know, on a more permanent basis. And obviously we have to do it with a few months break at a time for each season. It's because we've always got the other seasons running, and we've only got limited recording time because of our own personal lives and the fact that we do this as a hobby, of course, that you guys already know. So we can only put so much time aside to put these things out there. So we do appreciate that you follow us, that you do go on social media and you do tell people about the podcast, and you're always sharing it in different formats. It's so much appreciated by us. It really, really is, because it's what helps keep the word out there. And these episodes that we do are all timeless, so no matter how many years down the line you go back and listen to them, the stories are still relevant, the history is still there, the facts are still there. So it's always good to have it all banked up, and we hope that we've created a little bit of a podcast legacy when it comes down to these series. So we just want to say thanks again, as always, for listening to the series, for promoting it on social media, for telling everybody about it, for messaging us and letting us know what you thought of the episodes, for rating us and reviewing us. We'd really appreciate that also. And continue to do it. Find us on social media, Twitter, Legend Night Pod, Facebook, BTR Boxing Podcast Network, on Instagram, and also on YouTube. Please make sure you're letting everybody know where we are. If you've enjoyed an episode, make sure you share it and tell people why you've enjoyed it. And if you've got any constructive feedback, if you think there's anything we can do better for a season three, anything we need to improve on, whether it's we've missed a fact out here or we've missed something out there, just tell us, just let us know. We appreciate the constructive criticism. We appreciate it when you come back and actually say, oh, could you add this in next time, or could you put that in, as opposed to doing what other people do, which is to, if they're going to go on there and they're going to slate us, it's probably because they've only listened to 5 minutes of the podcast, which doesn't happen. It doesn't happen very often. We don't get many people going on and sort of slating us, but we do get the odd ones that will go on and say, oh, well, this is that and this is this. And a lot of people don't understand the premise of what we do. They listen to, say, 30 seconds or a minute of an episode, and they think, hang on, what's he talking about? Because they've not given us a chance to actually tell the story. They've only heard a section of it. So it does become a little bit frustrating for us. So when we do get the positive feedback and the constructive feedback, it's really appreciated, because we will go out of our way to change things and make it the best listening experience ever. And that's why you guys continue to come back to us, of course, because we keep improving. We keep making these necessary changes to keep you guys interested in what Legendary Nights is all about. So a big thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting the season. We hope to see you back for season three. And please go and check out our Darker Side of Boxing Season 2, which is being released in a few weeks' time. Please do go check it out. Please do go and check out the career profiles and the main BTR Boxing Podcast feed. We hope you've enjoyed this season of BTR Boxing Podcast Legendary Nights.
Podcast Network.